Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. The idea of this word depraved is tested and having flunked or been found wanting. A disqualified, oftentimes it's translated worthless. Something that you test and it's a reject. It doesn't work. It's not right. That's what he gave us over to, a depraved mind. And man, notice how he puts it, man did not see fit to acknowledge God. He didn't, literally, man didn't want to have God in his knowledge. What a description of our day.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our study in the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part 7 of an 8-part message titled, God Gave Them Over. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That's how Paul started this book, you remember? And we ought not to be ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And Romans is the systematic explanation of that gospel. And I compared it when we began the book to a great building. And if you want to build high, you better dig low. And that's exactly what Romans does. He's going to erect the great majestic truth of God's grace in Christ. And I say it goes high, Romans does. And I encourage you to be reading the book and read. If you haven't read the whole book, read the whole book through. And if you haven't been reading it, keep reading it. I mean, if you are. But be sure and at least read through chapter 8. I mean, it's going to go high. But he begins chapter 1 with excavation, going low, getting rid of all the debris. And he has to dig pretty low to expose man's unrighteousness, but that's what he's after. And this chapter 1 is a solemn and sobering picture, is it not, of our world today. It's such an apt description of our day. What's happened in our century, in fact, in our generation, you can't find a cleaner mirror, so to speak, to look into, and that's what the Bible is. It's a mirror. And when you look at Romans chapter 1 with honesty, it is very sobering. Verse 21, I think, summarizes, even though they, and he's speaking, remember, of the whole race, not just the evil guys over there, he's speaking of all of us, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. If the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, and it is, then the beginning of all wickedness and depravity and degradation is turning away from the Lord. And that's exactly what Romans 1 underlines for us. The beginning of evil is departure from God. And I don't want you to forget. I don't want to forget. We need to remember that all the depravity of this chapter, all the depravity in our world today, what you read about, what you see on the television, what we're exposed to everywhere, the heartache and wreckage right down in personal lives and families, all of it is the product of man turning away from God and his truth. And Romans spells it out so clearly, the direct result of turning away from God. And man in his puffed up arrogance turns away from God. Professing to be wise, he becomes a fool, and he exchanges the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of man. And man today loves to worship himself. And then, of course, the idolatry goes downward from there. We've seen it. And then I want to just read the connection, starting at verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over. God gave them over. It's a judicial giving over. This isn't merely a permissive, okay, This is a judicial giving over of the race. And he says it three times. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I always read that phrase like Paul coming up for air when he mentions God. But then he comes right back to it. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. God judicially hands us over. He gives us over to what we want. Man turns away from God, and God not only allows it, he gives us over to what we turn to. And notice now with this third giving over, it's a complete statement of the fact. Verse 24, it says, he gave us over in the lusts of our hearts. Verse 26, degrading passions and our bodies dishonored. And now verse 28, the mind. Heart, body, mind, it's complete. A depraved mind. And he goes right into the details and tells not only what we do, but how we think. Man turning from God, what happens? And it's a great picture, a vivid picture of today. Now, man not only, and I want to start with the last verse. Look at verse 32. He knows better. He's without excuse, Paul said back in verse 20. He knows better, and he not only plunges into the sin, but he applauds it, and he celebrates it. And hence you have today not only sin, not only degradation, but you have, for instance, where we left off last week, you have the celebration, the gay pride. Gay. What a satanic misnomer. The most unhappy, twisted, deformed, not right, not according to what God wanted kind of activity. And yet Satan and followers speak of it as gay. Gay pride, gay parades, gay celebrations, gay choirs, gay even churches. Even though they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but give hearty approval. In fact, to speak words of moral sanity, and you're some sort of homophobe or something today. Oh, it's not just done in the corner. It's flaunted and celebrated and pushed on others. Now, having said that, look at what happens here, verse 28. And he's speaking not just of some, but he's speaking of all who turn away from God. And he's speaking, I can't help but remind us, of a culture like ours that has turned its back on so much light. We've been given so much truth, and by and large, we've turned away from it. Now, even as I say that, I know I speak to individuals, and I'm not speaking to the mass, I'm speaking to you, and I say that you can be saved out of the darkness. And God is doing some great things today in the midst of the slide and the declension of our culture. And people are seeing the light in the darkness and coming to the light. And of course, that is Paul's goal in his day as he explains the depth of the problem. It is to draw people to the solution, Jesus Christ. So I say that as we begin. But notice verse 28, the third giving over. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. The idea of this word depraved is tested and having flunked or been found wanting. A disqualified, oftentimes it's translated worthless. Something that you test and it's a reject. It doesn't work. It's not right. That's what he gave us over to, a depraved mind. And man, notice how he puts it, man did not see fit to acknowledge God. Man didn't want to have God in his knowledge. What a description of our day. Look at our textbooks today, where we supposedly learn knowledge about this world. Don't bring God into it. History, don't bring God. Biology, don't bring God. Chemistry, psychology, sociology, business ethics, don't bring God into it. Just as man did not see fit. It's just not fit. It's not proper to bring God. This is the classroom, after all. Don't bring God into it, whether it's in education or any realm. We've ruled God out. Just as man did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to an unfit mind. And there's a play on words in the original here. And man didn't see fit to acknowledge God, and so God gave them over to an unfit mind. Man's ability to think has been messed up. He has a depraved mind. And today, people brilliant in other realms, professing to be wise and able to do many things academically and intellectually, are unable to think clearly when it comes to moral issues. God has given us over to a depraved mind. Man loses his moral equilibrium. He loses his mental footing, and he cannot and he will not think straight. God has given him over. It's a sobering thought. So much so that when you read verse 26 through 31, and you step back and you think, oh, what a description. But man has become so depraved in his ability to think that man lives there. Man lives today in this kind of moral pollution and doesn't even know it, doesn't even recognize it as such. Depraved mind, God has given over to a depraved mind. And then notice the last phrase of verse 28, to do those things which are not proper. The idea is this, that when a man has a depraved mind, then it will lead to depraved actions. How you think leads to what you do. And so to do, notice, those things, sins, actions, attitudes, which are not proper, ought not to be done. They're completely unfitting to one created in the image of God. Not what God had in mind at all. Now, look at verse 29 through 31. And quite simply, I'd say this. It moves from what man is filled with. See verse 29, filled with all. And then in the middle of the verse, full of. It moves from what man is full of and what man is filled with to what man, verse 31, is lacking. What he ought to have and doesn't have. And in verse 31, he gives four adjectives that describe what we should have but don't have. And it is such a clear expression of our culture today. You don't have to look too far, do you, to see the kind of moral declension that is described here. I read in Friday's Oregonian, making the, you know, surfing safe for kids, and an article deploring the pornography that is permeating the internet. And this wasn't written by, you know, a church group. This is Oregon, you know, the state that has no standards for pornography. That's why they bring it here, because they know they can sell it here with less hassles. We've lowered our standards down to the very bottom of the low, you know. So this is Oregon. This is the Oregonian writing. And yet, worrying about the kids. They really shouldn't see this stuff. They say that there's 1.5 million pages added per day on the net. And they roughly estimate 10% of all material on the internet is pornographic. Now, this isn't by the Sunday school standard. This is by the Oregonian, you know, this is the secular concern. 10%. Well, you can do the math. That's 150,000 new pages per day. And 20 million pages a day change their content. So do the math, 10%, 2 million other pages, slipperily changing their title or whatever to become more effective. And we wonder why we see so much corruption. And it's man's mind, his depraved mind, even illustrated in this, because he knows instinctively this ought not to be. We don't want the kids surfing on this stuff. But he doesn't have any moral standard. He's lowered his standards to oblivion. He really doesn't know why. He just knows it really ought not to be. And man knows better. Romans 1 never lets us off the hook to speak of depravity. And when the theologians speak of total depravity, the Bible does not teach that man is incapable of thinking a little bit straight or seeing a little bit of light or even doing good and noble things. That's not what total depravity means. So man instinctively knows this ought not to be, but he can't really put his finger on it. So he says, we ought to at least protect the kids. We ought to keep the kids from this. And he wants to keep his kids off it, but it was interesting to see even in the article, because he doesn't want to turn the kids off by being a little too repressive. So when they get to a page for the teens that isn't appropriate, it just says in this particular one that was being highlighted in the article, the statement that comes on the screen to filter out some of this stuff, this page will take 2 to 5 years to load. In other words, wait a couple of years. Wait maybe even 5 years if you're a young teen, and then you can get on. And the next page, you know, they went to a referred to another article, kinder, gentler computer games, still fun though. And so the concern here wasn't the moral depravity, but the violence. And this article, related to the other one, the lead paragraph, video games and kids would seem to go together like peanut butter and jelly. But recently, games have become increasingly difficult to play and darker and more violent in content. Well, yeah, that's true. But here again, the next line says, making them more appropriate for teens and older adults, older audiences. The little kids ought not to really get involved in that dark, depraved stuff. It's more appropriate for older kids. And you see it in all the kinds of... We've just about lost our ability to make any judgment, so that the most we'll say in most realms today is that it's for mature audiences. Or it's for those who can handle it, as if... And anyone who's done any kind of counseling or tried to help any kind of situation knows the depravity that is available to all ages and the wreckage that it has done and the folly, the depraved mind, the wrong thinking that says when you get to a certain age, you're not going to hurt you. Oh, tell that to the family that's been destroyed by pornography. It's amazing to see the depraved mind, the lack of ability to really think clearly. Now, Romans verse 29, it's a sorry list, isn't it? But God has it here. He wrote it down for a reason. So let's take a little look at it. He says that God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness. I think that's kind of the summary term. Romans, you remember what the theme of Romans is? The righteousness of God. He's going to declare to us what real righteousness is. And this whole section is showing man's unrighteousness. And so he starts this sorry list by saying, filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, malice. Man looks out for number one. A greedy, wicked, malicious kind of a mindset. Whether you're talking about business dealings, get yourself a lawyer. Read the fine print. Because man will get you if he can. Or if you're thinking about interpersonal relationships and those who are closest to us, and if you've tried to untie the knots of problems in people's lives, or to melt down the resentments and the bitterness that build up in man's life. You're looking at a description, verse 29, unrighteous, wickedness, greed, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, from international boundary disputes to ethnic cleansings, then right on down to the personal crime and violence and wickedness that's going on. Violence and deceit rule. And remember, he's describing things, look back at verse 28, that ought not to be there, not proper. And as I've read this, it brought to my mind a phrase that I saw repeatedly in Jeremiah. And I want you to turn there, because Jeremiah spoke of days much like ours. Turn to Jeremiah 19. I remember seeing this in studying Jeremiah and seeing the way the Lord would repeatedly speak of things that he said didn't even enter my mind when he was describing the sin of Judah. I never, to put it in a colloquial way or a human way, I never would have thought that this would happen, God would say, in a thus says the Lord. And I looked those up and turned to Jeremiah 19. Verse 5, a thing, right in the middle of the verse there, a thing which I never commanded or spoke of, nor did it ever enter my mind. Man falls to such a level that God says, I never wanted this, I never even spoke of this, it never even entered my mind. What's he talking about? Well, read back. Verse 4, because they've forsaken me and have made this an alien place. It's Romans 1, only it's in Judah's day. They forsook Yahweh, Jehovah. They turned away from God. They've forsaken me and have made this a strange place, an alien place, and have burned sacrifices in it to other gods that neither they nor their forefathers nor the kings of Judah had ever known. And because they filled this place with the blood of the innocent and have built the high places of Baal, to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal. A thing which I never commanded or spoke of, nor did it ever enter my mind. It's as if God hates to tell what they were doing. They were burning their children to this God, this false God. They turned away from the true God, and they were sacrificing their children to the false gods. And that's when he says, never entered my mind. And I looked it up and found it two other places. I remembered seeing it several times in these chapters of Jeremiah. And you can find it in chapter 7, chapter 32 also. And in each case, he speaks specifically of this. You talk about low, sacrificing children. Stop a minute. Sacrificing children. You know something? Millions of Americans sacrifice their children to the false goddess of so-called free love.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, God Gave Them Over, a message from our series in the book of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. We're thrilled to announce the publication of a new book written by Pastor Scott Gilchrist. It's called A Brief Exposition of Romans. It's a 266-page chapter-by-chapter commentary on Romans that we're sure will enhance your understanding of this critical book in the New Testament. The book is available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and most other online booksellers. But during our study of Romans, we'd like to send you a copy as a thank you for a gift of any amount to the ministry of Downtown Bible. You can find us online at downtownbible.org or by mail at P.O. Box 19191, Portland, Oregon, 97280. We'd love to put this valuable resource in your hands. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us in person for our Sunday worship services at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. at the church located at the corner of Southwest Murray and Weir Road in Beaverton. You can go to our website at swbible.org for more details. We hope to see you there. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Romans would say, look, this is what God has given us over to. And it's not unlike the day Paul lived in the decline and declension and depravity of the Roman Empire. It's not unlike the decline and the declension of Judah in Jeremiah's day. Things which are not proper didn't even enter God's mind, he says. That's what man gets involved in when man turns away from God. Now the list marches on, verse 30. Slanders, gossips, haters of God. You know, increasingly, when you give a clear presentation of God, the God who does not change, the God of the Bible, it elicits hatred. Haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful. Look at our society.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings the eighth and final part of the message titled, God Gave Them Over. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.